Okay.
Hey.
Morning, everybody. Of your screen.
Good morning.
Click on the little buttons there so let us know who's in your view.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, there's a picture of John. It's his birthday today. Glad that you are here this morning. I think we got a little bit of a late start, only for exciting reasons. We're working with our choir to be all ready for our service, and it's so good to see you all here this morning on this lovely day, and enjoy our welcoming music as well as the slides created by John Schiffel. I saw one new one there that was John Radomski, and it's his birthday today. So maybe in our sharing the piece, people can shout birthday greetings, and maybe anybody else that has a birthday can let us know. The words for this morning's call to worship are adapted from my colleague Kathleen Relenz. In the meantime is in between times. Between the always has been and the here and now, between the what is and the not yet, between the virtual hello and the hopeful goodbye, we are living in the meantime. We gather together this day to give ourselves over to time made holy by our attention, our presence, our prayers. We gather in the meantime, in the between time, from wherever we will go, may we attend well to the attentions of this hour. And I'd like to welcome all of you to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. It is so good to be together. Our determination to create and uphold community feels really essential in this hurting world right now. We create community and spirituality beyond boundaries, working for more justice and love in our own lives and in the world. We join in a covenantal relationship that gives rise to becoming people of love and trust. On Thursday afternoons, I've been gathering here with a group of UUFD members and friends who are looking to connect during the week. And you are welcome to join too. I put the Zoom link in my Reverend Katie's Animus View. So please join us on Thursday at 4. But this week we talked about thresholds, this in-between time. And we also lifted up the wonderful little book called Serving with Grace, the small volume that I mentioned in this month's newsletter article. The author of that book, Eric Wickstrom, spoke of the common wisdom that people come to church for a sense of belonging. We may get involved in a team or a committee because it's a great way to meet people. And yes, those things are true. I experienced those things myself when, as a brand new mother, I came back to the church of my childhood, the UU Church. But I believe, along with Reverend Wickstrom and church consultant Thomas Bandy, that there is a deeper reason that people come to church. Just getting involved is not enough. There is an even deeper need, a transformed life. whether it's taking part in a meeting, these days online, planning, teaching, administering, whether it's writing cards or making a pastoral delivery, whether it's just checking up on a fellow member or friend. What if we thought of those things as an integral part of the mission of the church to spiritually nurture us? A few weeks ago, your board of trustees read together that first chapter in Serving with Grace. They appreciated the notion of giving up the consumer mindset that they think of themselves instead as stakeholders, as investors, as co-owners in what happens in church. If you read this chapter, you likely recall the metaphor of being married to the church, which might seem like an old-fashioned or conservative church image. But we do talk about our fellowship as a family, and in a marriage, I'm glad marriage now includes all loving partners. A marriage requires partnership and growth, learning, compromise, and the creation of something larger than anyone could do on their own. You have acknowledged, and you have acknowledged a stake in your spiritual community, as Wickstrom says, empowering you to make that community your true spiritual home by infusing it with your values. It's outside the Sunday morning experience where the fellowship practices what it preaches. And we can see that through our caring, through our justice work, our hospitality and membership practices, the way that we handle our stewardship, how we care for both those inside and outside our midst, becomes the tools of transformation. Now, I want to invite you to open your mic for just a second, what you can do easily is press on the space bar if you want to tell me in a word or a phrase where you might have seen that happen, where you have seen how we handle things outside Sunday morning worship, where we practice what we preach.
Formosa Creek.
Sharing puzzles.
Pride Parade.
Parenting.
Making phone calls.
Supporting Rosa.
Food bank.
Casseroles for people.
And how about two more?
Man in kitchen.
And one more.
Rocks with nice messages.
On Ooh, the I love that. What a great way to finish. As we move to create what we call the beloved community, we strive to demonstrate how the world should be. And in that, there is transformation. There's an old church story that was first told by one of our most beloved Unitarian theologians, James Luther Adams. He tells the story of a church he served in the middle of the country, in the middle of the last century. There was a member of the board there who at times used racial epithets. At the meeting then, he was challenged after doing it. Did he wish his views to be proclaimed from the pulpit of the church? Oh no, he said. Then the question was put to him, what do you think is the purpose of the church? And he said, I'm no theologian, but he was reminded that he was on the board of trustees. What is the purpose of the church? He was asked again, what do you say is the purpose of this church? And finally, as their board continued to go on and on late into the evening, he said, astoundingly. Well, the purpose of this church, the purpose of the church is to get a hold of people like me and change them. And I think it's easy to look at this story and see it as kind of radical or something that doesn't happen now in our day or in our fellowship. But I can't tell you how many times that I have remembered this story when I think about why I do something or how I am changed by being in relationship here. I used to collect cartoons to tape up in my office door. I used to like fill the whole door with them, but my favorite was an old Peanuts strip. Charlie Brown's little sister, Sally, you know, the little cute one that has the bow on top of her head. She comes to Charlie Brown asking for help on an essay that she needed to write for school, asking, "Why are we here?" So she came to Charlie Brown, and Charlie Brown, undisturbed on his beanbag chair, still facing the television, gave the reply, "I don't know." "Thanks," Sally said. "That was easier than I thought." Today, we recognize and appreciate church leadership. Eric Wickstrom says that it makes sense to see church leadership as a spiritual practice because church leadership is hard. There's the saying, where three or four UUs have gathered, you'll find four or five opinions. So I want to unmute you while you laugh at that. Sometimes it is hard, but it is rewarding too. Church leadership, and somehow transformational. Something in you is now different. And as your minister, I want to especially on this day say thank you. Thank you to board members who had to resign early, to Tom McCampbell and to Mark Swanson. And thank you to Nancy Burpee, who served a partial term and will now offer her name on the slate today for the nominating committee. And thank you to those who served out a term as members of your board of trustees, Becky Malecki, Julie Jordan, and Elizabeth Long. And thank you to our president, Frank Lockwood, who stepped up as president mid-year and then will remain in that role another year. Thank you to the members of your nominating committee, Kay Redford, Carolyn Miller, and Robert Winslow, who worked hard talking to leaders throughout the year to identify a slate of new leaders to present to you. Charlie Brown's sister Sally asks, "Why are we here?" And we ask those great questions of philosophy and religion. We come to seek the answers together. And we do so through our leadership, by serving with grace, by the willingness to make ourselves beautifully vulnerable. Finally, A. Powell Davies, the longtime minister of All Souls Unitarian in Washington, D.C., had this saying that I love so much. Life is just a chance to grow a soul. So may we live. Amen. And blessed be.
I am willing for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonors those who go beyond.